Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and I'm glad you're with us today. We love hearing from you, our listeners, directly. So if it's top of the hour, 3 p.m., you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and the lines are open for you at 844-322-2742. This is your best opportunity to call and speak directly with us inside the studio here at Basic Gospel. Again, that number in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You and I are both in a state of depression today after the football weekend. The Cowboys lost. My Georgia Bulldogs lost. My Atlanta Braves lost. It's just been a losing time, I'm here to tell you. But we
got good news to share.
Good news is that we have Jesus, He's victorious, always victorious, and that's what we can count on. So that is good news. And I've been thinking a lot lately about Romans chapter 8, the first several verses, and I came out with a YouTube video last week. Why are we so quick to condemn everything that happens? We need to make a statement of condemnation. We condemn that act. We denounce that act. It's what the world does. But there's never been a more clear statement of condemnation than the cross of Jesus Christ. And here's what Paul had to say about that. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So that's good news.
Yes.
I mean, we were under the condemnation of the law of sin and death, and that was lifted. We were lifted out from underneath that through faith in Jesus Christ. We crossed over from death to life, and death was the condemnation. So that's how we came into this world. When we received Christ, we were set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life. So there's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Now, here's why. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So Jesus has already condemned sin in the flesh. And there's been no clearer statement or more powerful statement in that regard that's ever been made or will ever be made. So what does that do? That frees us to be what God has called us to be, ministers of reconciliation, ministers of the new covenant. We don't have to condemn sin. Why? Because our Savior already did.
Yes.
Our Savior condemned the sin that was in us. He condemned the sin that was in the world. It's been condemned, period. God condemned it in Christ. So we don't have to spend all of our days condemning every little act, pointing the fingers of judgment, pointing the fingers of condemnation. We can actually be ambassadors of Christ, offering reconciliation, forgiveness, and life in Jesus Christ. That is the good news. We have been lifted out from underneath that condemnation by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. That frees us to offer that same life and forgiveness to others.
Yes,
so
does.
Let's make our mark in this world, not by condemning the world, but by offering the world what Christ came to give, and that's life, forgiveness, and freedom through faith in him.
And that is good news. And friends, glad you're here to hear it today on Basic Gospel. Thanks, Bob, for those thoughts. We have open lines for you. It's about 4 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time. You're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. That number, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. Bob, let's go ahead and go to our questions. We're running a little ahead of schedule, and we got this one from Manuel. This is kind of a tongue-in-cheek thought, I think. But anyway, he says, Jesus was Alpha. That's why we look up to him. So why are churches so feminine?
That's interesting. And it's probably a wrong word choice there as far as feminine, but you've got the top dog and you got the followers type deal. And I think he's saying that the churches are more like followers in this world, and we should be bold proclaimers. And it's interesting, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says this, verse 12, since we have such a hope, And he's talking about the hope that we have in this new covenant, the fact that this hope brought righteousness, this new covenant brought righteousness, this new covenant brought life. It's not like the old that brought condemnation and death. So there's no hope under the law,
right,
but there's hope in this new covenant. And so he says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses who veiled his face. Man, we're just radiating the glory of God out there in the world. Mm-hmm. And so we have to get back to the message. We have to understand what Christ has actually done for us. We have to understand that we live in this new covenant, that our sins have been forgiven, that we have a new identity, an unshakable, unmovable identity in Christ Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have the power of the resurrection coursing through our spiritual veins. We've got everything that we need for life and godliness. So we ought to take a stand. We ought to be bold in this world. Now, this is a byproduct. The boldness is a byproduct. So how do we become that alpha force in this world today? Well, we become that alpha force when we take our stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we let our roots grow deep into him and understand who he is in us and who we are in him. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, boldness and confidence and assurance and authority are going to be the byproduct. We can't work to be bold. If we do, it's just going to be a human effort. But if we will rest in who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us and realize that we have his power inside of us, then as we grow in that, grow in grace, grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, boldness is going to be the result, and we can become that alpha force in this world today. As a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago here in Dallas, there was a trial. Amber Geiger, we talked about this mm-hmm. a couple of weeks ago. She was a police officer with the Dallas force, and she was going home to her apartment. She goes to the wrong floor, and she thinks she's going into her apartment. The door was open. Mm-hmm. She hears some voices in there. She enters. She sees Botham Jean, who lives there. He's on the couch eating ice cream. He stands. She fears for her life. She pulls a gun and kills him. Well, she's brought to trial. She's convicted of murder, and she was sentenced to 10 years. Now, there's all kinds of reactions to that. But in the sentencing, after the sentence was given, Botham's brother, Brant, takes the stand, and he starts talking. And he looks at Amber Geiger and says, "I forgive you. I don't want you to go to jail. I know what Botham would want for you is for you to give your life to Christ. That's going to be the best thing." And then at the end, he looked at the judge and says, "Can I hug her? Can I hug her, please?" And he marched over and embraced her and said, "I forgive you." That is alpha force. And the world took notice. Mm. People looked at that and said, that has to prove the existence of God. That act was supernatural. And where did that come from? Somebody who knew his Savior, somebody who knew the very forgiveness of God, knew that God had forgiven his sins. And in a moment where the world expected something completely different, outrage, judgment, anger, he brought reconciliation and life to that moment. And it just shocked the world. That is the alpha force that we're looking for. Mm-hmm. Where does that come from? People who know who Christ is in them and know who they are in Christ.
I'm glad Manuel asked that question, because it catalyzed some very, very good thoughts there, Bob. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
It is Basic Gospel, everybody. We have an open line for you. We'd love for you to come into the studio right now at 844-322-2742. Call now, 844-322-2742. 2742. And friends, we invite you to join the live video stream of this program each day from either YouTube or Facebook. You'll find direct links at the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net. There's a growing list of folks that join us every day. We hope you are one of those. And if you have not so done yet, we want you to do that. So go to basicgospel.net, click one of those links at the top of the homepage, and join us in the live feed. Also, to build your maturity and aid your understanding of God's grace, visit our online store. You'll find under resources at basicgospel.net, you'll find all of those resources. They're there for your growth and maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. So just visit resources at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had this call that came in over the weekend. Let's listen.
Hi, this may sound like a crazy question, but how do you receive the Holy Spirit? Are you born with it? Thank you.
Well, we're not born with the Holy Spirit. When we're born again, when we receive Christ Jesus, when we respond to that gospel message, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Christ Jesus, we're made alive together with Christ. We're made holy. We're made righteous. We're given a new identity. And with all of that, God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's part of the package. So when you receive Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. So if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit living in you already. Yeah. He has found his permanent dwelling place, and that is in your heart. So Galatians 4, verse 6 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God." So you can't be a believer, you can't be a Christian, if you don't have the Spirit of God living in you. As Paul said in Romans 8, 9, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Christ.
Right.
So the definition of a Christian is someone in whom the Spirit of God lives, someone in whom the Spirit of God dwells. Mm-hmm. So every believer has the Spirit of God.
Absolutely. Every believer has the Spirit of God. And as Bob said, if the Spirit is not present, then you don't belong to him.
That's exactly right. So if you're a believer, know that God's Spirit is there, and God's Spirit is going to bear witness to your human spirit that indeed you are a child of God. That's part of the assurance that he gives each and every one of us. And then you're going to see the work of God's Spirit on a daily basis, in change of attitude. I remember after I first really came to know Christ and started learning who I was in him and my new identity, I would go back to some of the places that I used to go before I really knew all this stuff, and it's like, hey, I don't belong here anymore.
Right.
Well, what was that? That was the work of God's Spirit inside of me. I found that I was loving people that I didn't love before, that I was seeing them with new eyes, with fresh perspective, with compassion for them inside of my heart. What was that? That was the work of God's Spirit. So if you're starting to see that you love people that you didn't love before, that you have a greater sense of love for all humankind, and you're doing things, that's the byproduct of the Spirit of God inside of you. So if you're a believer, you've responded to that good news, you've said yes to Jesus, you've received him, God has sent his Spirit to live inside of you. Mm-hmm. He is there. It's true. It's not a feeling. You may be looking for this feeling. I want to feel his presence. I want to feel near to him. I want to feel all of these things. Well, feelings come and go.
Yes,
you can
indeed
conjure up all kinds of feelings just by fantasizing about stuff. I remember being in a church service, and the pastor got so passionate, I thought Jesus was just going to come right through the cross there at the back of the auditorium. It just, you know, he had worked us up in such an emotional frenzy, and it felt wonderful. But as soon as he said amen and we walked out, that feeling disappeared.
It was over.
So sometimes we're looking for those feelings, and we just have to come back to the point and say, God said that he sent his Spirit into my heart. I'm going to believe him. I know I've received Jesus. Therefore, I know God's Spirit is inside of me. Therefore, I'm going to thank Him right now that God's Spirit is indwelling this heart of mine.
We can thank Him for sure. Thanks, Bob, for those thoughts. Well, again, open lines at 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the live broadcast at 3:15 p.m. Central Time, it is the live broadcast, and you can speak directly with us here inside the studio. So go ahead and call now, 844-322-2742. Bob, also, this call came in over the weekend. Let's listen to it.
Hello, my name is Sydney, and I was on the Bible scripture, asking it shall be given, seek ye shall find, knocking the door shall be open. I've been asking God to remove these demons. I'm my brother. He's vexed. He talks to himself. He mumbles to himself, and then I have a prostate problem, and I've asked God to remove it. Even asked God to help me stop smoking cigarettes, and I've asked for years now, and there's no... I have got no answer. And my mother, she's tired to sleep. She can't sleep at night. She's 76 years old. And two of my brothers just died like a few months ago from cancer. So could you ask my question why God is not answering my prayers? I really appreciate it. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Well, we're glad that Sydney reached out.
Yes, we are. And boy, sometimes, you know, life just overwhelms us. It overwhelms us with all of the bad stuff, these difficult circumstances. And we pray and we pray and we pray, and we're looking for help. We're looking for answers. We're wanting God to show up. And we want Him to answer us specifically. We want Him to heal us when we're sick. We want Him to remove desires of the flesh when they become a thorn in our side, so to speak. Yeah. We want our loved ones to experience a sense of peace. And so we pray desperately for those things and wonder, why isn't God answering? And sometimes He has other priorities for us. Sometimes, you know, maybe He wants us to be engaged in some of the answers of those things. And sometimes we're praying unrealistically. We're thinking if we just pray, then God is obligated to answer and answer the way we want. So let's step back and let's look at, Sydney, the first thing that you asked, you know, seeking and knocking and all of those things, asking. And the context of that, we read it both in Matthew chapter 5, and then we see it in Luke chapter 11. And I like the passage in Luke 11 because it gives us kind of the full scope of what God is really interested in. And He says, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Now, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So what is God's real concern for each and every one of us? Well, it's life. He wants to give us life. And that life is found through the gift of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit regenerates us. He quickens these human spirits of ours. And then He comes and takes up residence inside of us. That's what we were just talking about. So there's this asking, there's this seeking, there's this knocking. Why? We're hoping to fill this void within our hearts. We're looking for life, real substance in life. So that's the context of this ask and seek and knock passage. It's in the giving of salvation. Mm-hmm. So what does God have for us? He has the gift of God's Spirit. So, Sydney, if you've never received Jesus Christ, if you've never come to life in Jesus Christ, then that's what God is interested in. That's His priority for you. You have all these other things that you're interested in God answering. But God wants to do something even better than any of those requests, and he wants to give you life. He wants to cross you over from death to life and give you his spirit to take up residence in you. Mm-hmm. And then when you have his spirit living inside of you, now you have the very wisdom of God, the very mind of Christ, to know how specifically to pray and how to apply his wisdom in your everyday life. And when you're fully alive in Christ and he's fully alive in you, perspectives start to change. Mm-hmm. And you can be a part of God's solution for other people. So, Sydney, I would encourage you to step back and ask the question, have you ever come to Jesus Christ? Have you ever received him personally into your life? Have you believed that Christ died for your sins in accordance with Scripture, which means that he took your sins upon himself? He bled and died in your place. In exchange, he wants to give you his righteousness. So have you believed that Christ died for your sins? Have you believed that he was buried, that he buried that old man, and that he was raised back to life so that you could experience new life in him? If that's never happened, let today be the day of your salvation. And the answer to your asking, your seeking, and your knocking will be made evident to you in this new life.
Sydney, glad you reached out, and we hope that this is a help to you. Friends, Basic Gospel is a message that needs to keep going. We would love to have your help right now at basicgospel.net. There's a prominent link right on the homepage. You can make your contribution, and we would love your partnership. Again, that's at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Bastrop, Texas, and talk with Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Doing fantastic. What's on your mind?
Well, great. I got a question. In Romans, the 8th chapter, verse number 14, Paul writes, "For all who are being led are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And my question is, can a Christian, and when I read that, to me it seems, as he's saying, being led, it seems like that would be somebody that's willfully or choosing to yield to the Spirit of God. So what about, I know that there are Christians that are saved and still haven't grown to it yet. So how does this reconcile with they are the sons of God are being led, and then a Christian that may not even know, have the understanding of the Spirit and needs to be, or he or she is to be led by the Spirit? That's my question.
Well, Aaron, great question. And there in Romans 8, Paul is making a contrast. If you're in the flesh, you're lost. If you're in the Spirit, you're saved. So before you can be led by the Spirit, you have to be transferred out of the flesh into the Spirit. And so that's what happens through new birth. And then the Spirit comes to live inside of you, and then he begins his work of leading you. And, does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. Yeah,
so... Okay. So, as Paul writes, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. So, if you're a believer, you're no longer in the flesh. You may at times give in to the desires of the flesh, but you're doing so in the realm of the Spirit. And that's why it's not as much fun. That's why it's not as meaningful to you as it was when you were lost in the flesh. So, you're in the Spirit. And God's Spirit is in you, and God's Spirit is leading you every single day.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Aaron, you are welcome.
Yeah, thanks for your call. We're out of time. Okay. But, friends, thanks for joining us for Basic Gospel today. If you have a question and missed the opportunity to call in during the live broadcast, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to hear from you and answer your question probably on tomorrow's broadcast. If you'd rather write your question, drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, once again, our deepest thanks to everyone who helps keep this program on the air. air and online. You are the reason we're here every day and able to take this good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ far and wide. So please donate today if you can at basicgospel.net. And when you make your October gift, we'll say thanks to you by sending you a copy of our book, The Basic Gospel. Again, make your gift anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.